Psalms 23. Everybody knows Psalms 23. I teach Psalms 23 every now and then. You've heard Psalms 23 here. I want to do it a little differently. And I'm giving you this paper to take home, and I'll explain that to you. Now it says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is whose shepherd? He's mine. He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd leads the sheep. He keeps them safe. He provides them with nutrition. This psalm outlines what the shepherd is going to do for the sheep. Now, David, at this point, who wrote this psalm, would have been between 15 and 19 years old. He's just a kid. But he had already figured life out that the Lord was his shepherd. The Lord was his shepherd. Amen. He said, I shall not want. The first thing you see with the Lord is he makes divine provision for you. He makes Hallelujah. Provision. And that's what you're seeking. You want to know, what would the Lord provide here? In my situation, what would he provide? What would he do? What does he want me to do? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In other words, he's willing to sacrifice himself for the sheep. That's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saves us. He's going to have mercy on us. He's going to give us his mind, give us his wisdom. We're going to move according to what he dictates. Now, I know just about the time you've made up your mind, the Lord speaks. Have you heard Marilyn Hickey? She said, the Lord is never tardy, but he is frequently last minute. We've got to wait until we have the assurance in our spirit that the Lord has spoken, and this is the path. And we've got to wait on the time to walk the path. Now, Joel was a bikist. He was for a long time. And he and a friend were biking in the long Polk City path. It was a railroad track at one time. And it started pouring down rain. Well, there's a shelter there. But they stayed under the shelter, stayed under the shelter, and stayed under the shelter. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. And the other fellas, I'm calling my wife. What if they had heard the Lord that morning and he said, this is not a good day for biking? Then they wouldn't have been sitting there an hour or two under the shelter thinking the rain would stop. And guess what? It wasn't going to stop today. You've got to know the will and the plan of the Lord. And you've got to know the timing of the Lord. When do I do this? Now, most of us would like him to say, now, right now, do it right now. Go for it. Run with it. And that's not always the case. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So God has you in his mind. Jesus has you in mind. He's your shepherd. He has you in mind. And he wants you to be successful. He wants you to know what you need to know in order to walk the right path, do the right thing, and be totally successful. He said, I shall not want. Now that's the promise of the shepherd to provide your need. To provide your need. You don't ever have to worry about starving to death. Now, I gave you verses, and under each section that we'll cover today, you find the section that answers your troubled heart. And you, every single day, you pick up that, and you read that section. Just that, you can read them all if you want, but there is a section that would cover your trouble. Now, he said divine provision. I love the psalm, I've been young, now I'm old. Is that ring anybody's bell? Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging bread. Now we can depend upon that. That's a promise of God, that you will get old and you'll not have to beg. I think that's a wonderful promise, don't you? We won't have to beg. There was a gentleman who was thumbing and begging for food. He was down at one of our restaurants. And one of our gentlemen from this church said, I'm going to buy your lunch. Come with me. And he grabbed him by the arm and said, we're going in here. I'm going to buy your lunch. He said, no, 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 just give me a dollar. Just give me a dollar. Now, you're not following their heart. You know what he's going to do with the dollar. He's going to add it to the last dollar till he has enough dollars. You're not following their heart. You're following yours. And he took the old boy by the arm. We happened to be coming in. We saw him. We knew him. He took the old boy by the arm. He said, "We're going to sit right up here at the counter. What would you like to eat? You are eating." He's following God. He's following his heart. He's not misled by this fella who's obviously going to go buy liquor and get drunk. Now, we had that happen at the park. We were at the park. Ashley liked to go to the park and eat, and they had food trucks at the park, and we were there, and this fella came up and asked Wayne if he had a dollar. Wayne said, "No, but I'll buy you a sandwich. Do you want a sandwich?" And he looked at Wayne like, I mean, who could hardly believe that? Somebody buy him a sandwich. He's just got his fingers crossed hoping for a dollar. Wayne said, "No, we're having a sandwich." It's your heart you follow, not theirs. It's your heart that meets their need when you've heard from God. It works the same for you personally. Now, I've been young, now I've never seen the, never, do you see that word? I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Now, the only person you should beg for anything is your grandmother. Because it probably worth the effort to you. Do you know her? My grandmother was very, very petite, and she couldn't reach the top of her kitchen counters. And so one day I went in, and the kitchen was all new. And what they had done, they put her in a new kitchen and lowered the cabinets about a foot and a half. And so then when she made me wash the dishes, I had to go because the counters were so low. See, she followed her heart and what was good for her, what she needed to be successful in the kitchen. There is something that would answer your troubled heart. There is something that would put you over. There is something that would be good for you. And when you connect to that, you hold fast to that, and you're waiting on God to say, "Now. Do that now." And he may not say or speak to you, but he's going to have an inward, you're going to have an inward unction. This would be a good day. Now, I like to check things out. I'm not necessarily going to do it right now. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. If you don't wait on the Lord, you can do the right thing at the wrong time. You can do the wrong thing at the right time. This was a good time to do something, but that wasn't it. You know. And we have to be patient and wait and hold fast, because God is going to lead us down the path of victory. Now, people, it says there's a narrow gate. And what they don't realize, and nobody would agree with me, and you don't have to agree with me, but when you open that narrow gate into the blessings of God, the pathway down that gate is quite large. It's not a narrow gate and a narrow path. You go back and read that scripture. It is not a narrow gate and a narrow path. It's a narrow road and a narrow gate, and you open that gate, and the path is wide because there are many blessings that God is going to give you. And He's going to make you successful, and He's going to tell you, "Go this way." You understand? So I'm expecting an answer. I'm expecting God to speak to me, to deal with me. And then I'm waiting for Him to say, "Now would be a good time," or maybe tomorrow. Somehow it never happens as quickly as you want it to. Have you noticed that? Now, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So what God thinks, what God wants, that's my priority. See, and this is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He's going to sacrifice his life so that you can come into the kingdom, so you can be born again, and so you can hear from him, and everything you need can be supplied by divine unction. That's by the Spirit that now dwells within you. And the knowledge that you need to overcome the troubled heart is in your spirit. It's not in your mind. It's in your spirit. It's on the inside. It's the Holy Spirit who knows and who lets you know. And when the Holy Spirit lets me know, then I have to wait and say, "You want me to do it right now or maybe tomorrow?" We're not much into the tomorrow thing, are we? Thought today is the day of salvation. That's what you said, God. It's the day He spoke, the day He promised, the day your desire is fulfilled. It may not be the day it shows up, but we'll show up. You understand? Now it says, "Asking, it shall be given you." It doesn't say ask, and that's Matthew. It doesn't say it might be given you. It could be. Give it a shot. Hope for the best. Cross your fingers. When I ask for wisdom, when I ask for an answer, I know it's coming. I'm not upset. I'm not uptight. I'm not anxious. I know it's coming. And when I go to prayer and when I think about it, even in the middle of the night, I say, oh, thank you, Father. We have the answer. He promised when you ask, He answered. If you hadn't heard anything, you keep listening. Ask and He answers. Ask and He answers. And it says, it shall be given you. It doesn't say it might be, it could be. I hope it'll be. Cross your fingers, see if it works out for you. He said, when you ask. See, when you ask for wisdom and you ask for what your troubled heart needs in order to solve this dilemma, sometimes you just need to turn loose of it and let somebody else solve it. Sometimes I find we're worried about things that we need to forget. They weren't on your table. You know what I just said? We were at a little lady's house, and she had one of those old Formica top tables, round breakfast tables. You know about this big? You know what I'm talking about? It was covered with medicines. I mean, there wasn't an inch without medicines. And I don't know, but it looked to me like she just went and picked a medicine. How about? And that's not a good way to get well. It's a good way to cause yourself trouble. But when you're through with something, when you're through with your question, you don't have to keep asking your question to God. You're finished. You ask the question, the answer's coming. He said He'd answer. You ask, and He answers, so the answer's on the way, and you know it's on the way, and you know God always answers. That's what He said. He said, ask and you will receive. I ask. I don't sense anything. I like to sense something. I don't know anything. I'd rather He speak. But I know I have the answer. That's what He said. So I'm going to be steadfast and unmovable. Now, you know everybody does this. You've done this. People you live with done this. You'll ask something, holler something. They'll say, I'll be with you in a minute. What does that mean? Nothing at all. It means nothing. I'll be with you in a minute. So I've been part smart aleck and Wayne not having a sense of humor. He does not have a sense of humor. I look at my watch and I say, time's up. Your minute's up.
I have stories to tell.
The good news, I'm in charge and he's not going to tell his stories. That's it. Seek and you shall find. We're all time hunting for a telephone. Does that happen to you? Can't keep track of your phone. Where's my phone? In the car. Hidden in the sofa. My mother lost her checkbook, and years later, we found it in the sofa cushions. Years later. And we had looked, we must have looked sort of. Have you ever had that kind of a mission? Yes. You're sort of hunted for it and stuff. I don't know where it is. We sought it, but we didn't find it. Because we weren't steadfast and unmovable, we didn't hold fast to the promise of God. We will find this. God said, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door is opened. We will find this. Now, we may have to take a break. You know, you get exhausted being defeated by your vision. You can't see it. But you will find it. And if you're looking for an answer from God, you are going to hear. You are going to hear from Him. He said, ask and you shall receive. He's just asked me. He said, you lack wisdom? You like an answer? I give liberally. And I upbraid. The word upbraid means to scold. Susanna took piano lessons. My daddy was a musician, so everybody took piano lessons. And you'd have to prove you weren't talented to get to quit. And there were those among us that proved that they weren't really talented. Susanna could say, what's this note? And I could say, it's a quarter note. A little while later, she'd be practicing. She'd say, what's this note? And I said, it's a quarter note. I don't know how many times I said it's a quarter note. I can hear God say, how many times are you going to ask me that? I told you if you ask, you'd receive. Now's the time to turn your voice on and say, well, I receive. I receive, I receive, I receive. See, I wanted to know, I wanted to hear. But faith in God's promise is where your answer begins. Faith in God's promise. Upbraid means you scold. And one day I said, Suzanne, quit asking me. That's a quarter note. Write it down somewhere. Said, you didn't. I did. My daddy called me late one night. We prayed for a private room. He was fractured by somebody being in his room. He couldn't deal with that. And they had moved somebody in with him. And I said, I'll be right down there. It was closing in on 11 o'clock, 11:30. And he said, no, don't come. They just gave him a shot, and I don't think he's going to wake up. I said, "No, you're sure, because I'll come." Well, I went the next morning, and they were moving his clothes in Daddy's closet that we paid big bucks so he could be alone, which is the way he has wanted to be, alone. So I went down to the lady, and the desk is not open. I got there before dawn so that I could talk to the diabetic nurse who comes twice a day. They don't give insulin shots in those places. Did you know that? You have to pay somebody to come. So I wanted to talk to her. I hadn't seen her in a long time. She usually comes before the sun's up, so I hadn't seen her in a long time. And then I'm sitting waiting on the lady to come behind the desk. And I said, "Hi, I'm Bud Hudson's daughter. And you've moved a man in his room, and you're putting the man's clothes in Daddy's closet. And we pay big bucks. The madder I am, the softer I talk. If I say to Wayne, 'Wayne Cumby,' he knows that I'm really, really mad. I always whisper, always whisper. I don't shout or yell at anybody unless I just am beside myself." Well, she's not going to do anything. And I said, "I'm here for the day. I am not going home, you understand, until you move him." She said, "What'd you say?" I didn't say, "I'm here for the day, lady, and I'm here until you move him." I don't ever shout. And I whispered. And she took off when she realized what I said. And she came back and said, "Can you take him home for the day? We're going to move the man." I said, "Thank you very much. I appreciate that." And I go down, and the man's sitting there, and he's not in his right mind. And he's swinging his feet on top. The beds are tall. Well, his bed was tall. And I called him by name. I heard him call him by name. And I said, "Would you like me to put on your tennis shoes?" And he said, "Love is never angry. It's never short-tempered. It never decides that God is not coming. I ask and he's not coming. I ask and this is going to be forever. Listen, if it is forever, you're going to live forever till it comes." Isn't that amazing? So, and I said, "Would you like some breakfast?" He goes, and he kept saying, "Is my wife here? Is my wife here?" Well, I don't know why he's there, and I don't know where his wife is, but I said, "Change the subject is your line of attack in every situation." I said, "Let me take you down so you can have your breakfast. Is that okay? Now you slide down off this bed so you got your tennis shoes on." And we got that all that settled. Because love not only expects God to answer my need, but to use me to answer his need. You see that? Very important. You ever had a neighbor that hollered? We had a neighbor that hollered. We don't actually have neighbors, but on the border of our property, we own property, there was always a lot of noise, a lot of shouting. And one day Wayne went up to repair the roof or the chimney or something, and he said, "Do you know what that shouting is and all that noise? They have a herd of goats in the backyard." Well, I was irritated. We do not live in farm country. So, next time that house was empty, Wayne and I prayed and we agreed that that would be the quietest people that ever lived in that house. They would not have loud children. They would not have loud dogs. They would not play loud music, which is a problem in our neighborhood. Even though we're not in a neighborhood, we can hear the music wafting. And they've been there for 2 years, and yesterday was the first day we'd heard any sound from that yard. And I just said, "Lord, remember, no music, no loud children. You hold God to his promise. He's up to it." Did you know that? He said, "By your stripes you were healed." He's up to it. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And anything you ask for that's according to his will, that you've heard from heaven, that you're anchored in, he is going to come to pass. He's going to bring that." Now, all this time we're waiting, we're going to have perfect peace. And that's the second thing this psalm says. It says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Still waters are waters that are not moving. And sheep will not drink if the water's moving. And every year they move in the winter, they move the sheep down into the flatland by the barn. And then in the spring, they move them up the hill to the, listen to me, the tableland. It's not a four-legged table, breakfast table. It's a table land. It's a flat plain at the top of the mountain. And they move the sheep up there. But they always send a team up that path, and they take out all the poisonous weeds, because some things sheep are not to eat, they'll kill them. And they decide where they can bed the sheep for the night, because it'll be several days to the top of the mountain. If they put them under the edge of a cliff or something, then some wolf will come along and destroy some sheep. So they make all those decisions. And one thing they do is make sure that the dam that they placed in the spring last year is still intact, that the water is still, it's not moving. Now that's what he said he'd do for you. He wants your heart to be still, just to be quiet. Listen to that quiet. I have this thing about not knowing where Wayne is, because we have a lot of property, and if I go down to the road and I walk all the way down there and I don't find him anywhere, and he's up on the hill to his mother's, that's irritating. So we have this little tablet, and he writes, "Gone to mother's," or "Walking over to Shirley's," or "Mowing the back pasture," the bottom land it's called, because it remembers that it was a pond when it rains. Or he said, "I'm going to pick up limbs and put them at the road." So when I pick up that note, I know where he is, and I know he is where he said he would be. Because if he's going to be anywhere else, he's going to come change his note. And God is what he said he was. He is doing exactly what he said he was doing. And he ain't going to change his mind. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. See what happens? We get anxious. We get nervous. Nervous in the service. And one fellow called me and he said, "You pray for me. You pray for me. Tell the Lord I have to have it. I have to have it. I have to have it. Tell him I have to have it. I have to have it." This is a grown man. I went, you will never get an answer shouting at the Lord. You won't. So I said as calmly as I could, "I will pray for you, and the Lord will answer you, and we'll hold fast until we see the answer." Made sure that I repeated myself, that he knows we are going to ask for the answer. God will give us the direction, and we will see that. We cannot jump ship. We cannot... You know how much good you get in your life by shouting at the Lord? Well, you can have peace. All that time you're waiting, you have peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." I'm not sure we know exactly what perfect peace is, but we'd like to, wouldn't we? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on I have to keep my mind focused on God and on His Word and on the answer. And it's by staying focused and allowing the Spirit to continually bring that answer before me. And the fact that the Lord never forsakes His Word. It says every word that God speaks comes to pass. Now, I've given you this example before, but you can tell your kid, "We'll get new tennis shoes tomorrow." And tomorrow comes, it's not convenient or something. You say, "We'll get new tennis shoes the next day." Well, you're a liar. You lied to him. Now, here's what you do. Give yourself some room. So we will get new as soon as possible. And give yourself some room, because you're teaching him integrity, and he's going to learn that from you. And if you never keep your word, he's going to grow up and not keep his. He's going to think that's just what you do. You promise, and if you can keep your promise, fine. If you can't keep your promise, that's okay. It's not okay. You understand. Now, if I can't keep my promise and I worded it incorrectly, I'm going to say, "Please forgive Mama. I can't do it today. But you know what I can do? We'll call Aunt Debbie. Aunt Debbie's a wonderful helper. And see if she can take you." And next time I say, I make sure I give myself some space. God said, "Ask and you shall receive, not you might." And then he says, "I'll keep you in perfect peace." He said, "Come unto me, all you labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest." That's in Matthew. And that word rest is quiet. If you come unto me and you have my promise, your heart can be quiet. That's Matthew 11:26. Your heart can give rest. It said it can be quiet, just quiet. Why? Because God will come through. Because God will do what he said. Peace I leave with you, my peace. And that word, my, John 14, that's the word that's important. See, we have a trouble here. We have something that we need. We've asked God. We've made our request. We're standing on the word. He said, ask and you shall receive. He doesn't say ask and you might receive. You could receive. I hope you receive. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. And he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives. So we're not functioning on an ungodly plane. We're searching God's heart. We know what he said. We know what he wants. We ask him for that, and we anchor ourselves. Now, I don't know where your mailbox is, but we couldn't see our mailbox from the house. And what happens? The little boy brings it to the house. I think he thought we would give him some money, and we probably should have. We thought of it later. It was soaking wet, and the mail in it was soaking wet, and somebody had taken it off the post, thrown it in the canal, which we wouldn't have known that. If he hadn't brought it, we would never have found the mail, so we were grateful. And then later, we put up a mailbox, and somebody put some kind of fire under it and exploded it. And from the house, we can see something's happened down near the road, do you think? But God isn't going to explode in your face, and you cannot explode in his. You got that part? He's coming soon. He's coming soon with joy. We're going to welcome our answer, but we're not going to be surprised. Now, my sister lives alone, and when Wayne said he'd put up the Christmas lights for her, it's too much for her. You know what? She thought he was coming. Because he said he was. Because he always keeps his word. And he's smart enough to say, I'll come sometime this week. So that his word doesn't make him a liar. Are you getting this? Mm-hmm. See, when you read that psalm and read what the shepherd's doing, the shepherd is providing you everything you need and everything you ask for and everything that settles the trouble for you. And he's providing it so you can stand in perfect peace until it comes. You know the old song? You don't know the old song. Me and Miss Melinda, maybe. Why worry?
When you can pray.
Trust Jesus. He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Just rest upon his promise. Why?
Worry when you can pray.
Y'all don't know that?
Nope.
Did y'all go to church as a kid? I bet your daddy wasn't a musician, was he? Well, if you see that last verse, we may boldly say, the Lord's my helper. How are we going to say this? We're going to say, the Lord is my helper. He has given me an answer. I'm looking towards this answer. I'm holding fast to this answer. This answer is coming. And I'm not going to give up or yield or quit until I see it. And I'm holding fast. You know, if you seek the wrong answer, your heart's going to know that. It's going to go, mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Your heart ever done that to you? It goes, no, 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 no. That's Ashley and I's song. No, 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 no. I used to sing to Ashley when she would do something she wasn't supposed to. Suzanne's worked with me for years and years, and when Ashley wasn't in school, she'd be at my house with her mother, and she wanted to do something, and she'd say what she's going to do, and I'd say, no, 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 no. One day she looked at me. She's about this high. She said, yes, 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 yes. Oh, you have to watch your words. God's going to answer. He's going to tell you what to do. You're going to be able to hold fast to God's word. But if you make up a word, sometimes I have to ask people now, where did you hear that? Who said that? One lady told me, well, that's what my mother always said. I went, oh. Mother was as wrong as rain. We're going to have the presence of God. You see, that's number three. This is what the shepherd's going to do for you. He's going to always provide for you. He's going to provide it with great peace, and you're going to have his constant presence. Isaiah 41:10 is a great verse. Fear thou not, I'm with thee. That's his presence. He said, you don't have nothing to be afraid of. I'm here. I'm here. You know, you can holler for Wayne and he's not here. What's the first thing you're going to do? What's the first thing you're going to do if you holler for Wayne and he's not here? You're going to go to the end of the island and read the note. You're going to read the note. And here's God's note. And I don't have to holler. I holler at you guys because that's fun. But I go and I read God's note. Find out what he said. Find out what I'm supposed to be holding fast to. Find out what I'm waiting for is coming. He said it was. So he said, and Hebrews, God said, I'll never leave you, never leave you or forsake you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Do you know All Alone Am I? You know that song? God said, you'll never be alone. I'll never fail you. I'll always be there. It's a word of great comfort. And then he said, I'll protect you. Now look at the final Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now don't misunderstand that. It doesn't mean nobody's going to be against you. It means nobody's going to be successful against you. It said, who can be against you? Who can be successful against you? Because God is for you. And God is for you. And he said, ask and you shall receive. He didn't say ask and you might receive. God is for you. And he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. God is for you. He said, I'll give you perfect peace. I'll give you my peace. So if I have God's direction and his peace and his constant presence and his protection, I'm pretty well set up to be a great waiter. You've been to a restaurant and had a poor waiter? Did you eat where I ate? Well, we went late one night after church, which we don't normally do, and the waitress just, she flubbed everything, every time she made such terrible mistakes. I was getting so frustrated with her. Three times now, I thought. So I saw the manager come out, and I thought, I am going to go speak to him about this waitress. And about that time, she came back, and I said to her, are you having a hard day? And she said, oh. And she sobbed, and she sobbed, and she sobbed. And I said, okay, that's when you lower your voice. Don't yell at distressed people. And I said, what's the problem? She said, my baby is really sick. And I said, where is he? She said, he's with my mother. And I said, have you called mother? She said, yes. I said, how is he? He's doing real good. I said, so mother's a good keeper? You can trust your mother? And the baby's doing real good? And how much longer are you having this shift? See, you're the source of God's answer. Mm-hmm. You're the one who gives her the answer. She said, I just have an hour. And I said, I'll stand with you. You can make an hour. And mama's doing really well. And the baby's doing really well. His fever's gone down, is what you said. See, because you know God, you have an answer. You have the answer. It's easier to give the answer to somebody else than to give it to yourself. Have you noticed that? They loved your warm tones and voice and your wisdom. You wanted something to do now, right now. But you knew them. They weren't going to get it right now. It's going to be over an hour. It's going to be an hour and then however long it is to mama's house. And that was good for you, and you talked them into that. But when you needed something, you raised your voice and you got upset. Now, I'm not against tears. I'm against my tears. I found out you let it all hang out. You have to tuck it all back in. Tears are a waste of my time. I'm not going to cry about anything. But I can listen to you cry if that helps you. But guess what happens when you finish crying and shouting about something? You still have to wait till God comes. And he did say he was coming. He said he was coming. Now, the final thing that's in this psalm is healing power. And you know the verses from Isaiah. We quote them all the time. Surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. What did that translation say about that verse, with his stripes we are healed?
We have health. It was the
easy
English.
Right. There's some great translations out there, but you have to be careful. There's some tricks. Some of them are full of tricks, and some of them are terrific, and that's a terrific translation of that verse. Now look, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, is God's spirit in you? Did he come to live in you when you were born again? Did he leave you, or is he still in there? Does he still know God? Does he still have God's answer? And healing. Would you bring me a marker, Wayne? Healing doesn't come from the outside in. It comes through the word which you place in your heart, and by the spirit that he begins to bring understanding, and it comes from the inside out. Thank you, dear. Here we are, the spirit, and here's the body. And the Holy Spirit comes when you're born again to dwell in your spirit. Now here's your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. If God doesn't speak, it's not in your mind. You got that part? If he doesn't speak, you don't know. But when the Holy Spirit brings the Word of God, comes, and you're meditating in healing Word, meditating and thinking about it, you keep putting it, and the Holy Spirit brings revelation. He brings understanding. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit quickens something to you, and you say, oh, I get that. I get that. I understand that. You know, I have to say, a lot of times, and I say that again, I'd ask a question, they give me an answer, and I know it was the right answer, but I didn't quite get it. Does that ever happen to you? I'm not embarrassing. I say that again, answer that again. And when you have understanding, the Holy Ghost brings you understanding. I'm reading the Word, I'm talking about it, I'm hearing the Word, I'm doing the Word, because it's going to come from the inside to my body. That's why if you're looking to your body to feel better, you're wasting your time. Look to your spirit to know. And when the Spirit knows, it begins to move. And then you know that someone on the inside is working on the outside. You know that song? I probably should have been a choir director, except I quote words better than I sing. So what I'm going to do, I have this trouble and I'm distressed, I'm going to go to the Word, and I'm going to read the Word, and I'm going to go over it and over it. Now, if any of these sections helps you with your answer, if you need to be reminded of God's presence, you just, every day this week, you read section 3. If you need to know that God is there to protect you, he said he will cover you with his feathers. That's from the 91st Psalm, and that's reference to the mother hen that spreads her feathers out over the baby chicks when she sees danger coming. So if you're afraid, I know years ago we had access to a mountain cabin, and we have a security system at our house. In fact, we have two. And there's no security system there. And I did not realize I was not depending on the Lord. I had learned to depend on the buzzer in the security system. So we're up there, and Wayne's sound asleep. He wouldn't be afraid if a snake crawled through. And I'm thinking, did y'all hear that? Wayne, did you hear that? And he'll say, no. He won't even raise his voice. And after a while, something else. And then the next day, the neighbor comes up and says, we've had a lot of robberies in this neighborhood. And I went, ah. And suddenly I had revelation. The trouble was, I was depending on the security system and not on the Lord. I had to change. I had to change. You're depending on the Lord, and he works through his word, and you meditate in the word, and whatever section you need, just take one section unless you really want to do more, but take one. If you have a financial problem or something you desperately need, take section 1 and read it and read it and read it. It doesn't take long to read that. We typed it all out so you could read it. The Lord is your shepherd. Now, he's not an idle shepherd. It's a good thing, isn't it? Have you ever waited at the airport and your plane is delayed? We were in London coming home. We'd been in Moscow and Scotland. And they announced flight so-and-so has been delayed. And then later they said flight so-and-so is still delayed. now we're approaching noon. They said, flight so-and-so has been delayed. Mm-hmm. About 3 o'clock, they said, the part needed for flight so-and-so has not come. It's still delayed. And I don't like delay. I've been sitting there all day long. I have to text Joel. Don't go to the airport and pick up my plane at 3 o'clock. I'm still sitting in London. I'm irritated. And the minute you get irritated, you've turned loose of the word, you've turned loose of the promise, and the delay is going to affect your mind, your attitude, and your time. You understand that? The psalmist said he'll anoint our head with oil. What you may not know is sheep get a little bug in their ear and in their nose and they kill themselves. They beat their head against the fence post until they die. And that's a reference. Every year, and maybe more than once a year, they line up the sheep and they dip them in oil. That's a direct reference to your healing. It's not a sign of welcome. That's been said. Okay, that's okay. If they welcome you with oil, it was done in the East. But that's the sheep that are being anointed with oil to prevent them from killing themselves, being distressed over this little bug. And God said, I'll anoint your head with oil. I'll bring healing to you. That's what it's for. That's what that reference means. I'll bring healing to you. I'll bring healing to you. I'll bring healing to you. You got that?